What's up, Steelers Nation? I'm your host, Chris G, and welcome to the Black and Gold Fan Show, Episode 1.
Yo, that's a hell of a show. You need to watch that on a weekly basis. I hear it's pretty good.
Thank you for joining me in the very first episode of the Black and Gold Fan Show, the show by a fan for the fans. So let's jump right into it. It's been busy. It's been a busy offseason. You know, major changes have been made in the Steelers organization, from players, coaches, staff, etc. Well, we've seen a lot of moves that we haven't seen in recent years within the Pittsburgh Steelers. But today I just want to focus on the players. But first, please like, comment, subscribe, and share this video. So, some additions that Steelers have made. We'll start off with free agency. First off, we signed Russell Wilson, quarterback. Signed him to a one-year, about $1.2 million deal. Russ comes with experience. He's a former Super Bowl champion, a nine-time Pro Bowler, has a career QBR of over 100. QBR of exactly 100. 100 on the dot. Last season, he threw for just over 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. And that's with missing his final two games of the season. So as you can easily see that he could have had between 28 and 30 touchdowns. Might have thrown another pick or two here. But if you look at our last quarterbacks, they combined for just over 3,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. So we're getting a major uptick in touchdowns and not as many interceptions. You know, the last three quarterbacks combined threw for only 13 touchdowns, and Russell Wilson threw for 26 by himself. So he's doubled the number of touchdowns that our past three quarterbacks have combined for. Also, with Russ, you're getting a leader, a veteran leader on offense, somebody that's been there, done that. Like I said, he's won a Super Bowl. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's everything that you aspire to be if you're an NFL quarterback. I mean, he's been to the top of the top, been the face of a franchise, $100 million contracts. He's done everything that you're looking to do. One thing, I guess, negative that could be said about Russ coming over is he was labeled as Hollywood, coming from some previous organizations, maybe in the Seahawks and from the Broncos. But what quarterback isn't? I mean, one of the things that people kept bringing to mind was that Russ had his own office. Kenny Pickett had his own office. Does that make it in Hollywood? He won his own parking spots. Now, there are some things I'm pretty sure were extreme that may not have been necessary for him coming into a building. But if you're a player that's been to two Super Bowls, won a Super Bowl, I feel like there's some luxuries that you've earned throughout your career. You put in a lot of hard work getting to where you want to be. And I feel like he's earned some of those. Now, may they have rubbed some teammates the wrong way? Possibly. But that may be some things that come with the territory. Now, it's a problem when you're not winning. If you're winning, nobody cares about any of that. I'm sure Brady, Manning, Breeze, players like that, all had their own ways that they went about their business and accommodations they had for them. But if you're winning, like I said, nobody really cares about all that. Next up, we have Patrick Queen. Inside linebacker, he came over from the Baltimore Ravens. Signed a three-year, $41 million deal, which is a steal for a player his caliber. I mean, he was the top inside linebacker in free agency. Sort of a player that the Steelers normally wouldn't go for. I was kind of shocked when we did sign Queen. I was expecting the signing of somebody like a William Gay Jr. But I'm excited about this, about Patrick Queen. He's young, only 24. Like Coach Tomlin said, he has youth and experience. That's something that is hard to come by, is youth and experience. He's young enough to be able to play at a high level for a long time. And also, he has experience that he's been there, done that. His rookie season, he had over 100 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, and an interception. And for his career, he's had over 450 tackles, 13.5 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, 5 fumble recoveries, 4 interceptions. One of the knocks coming over from Baltimore with him was a lot of people saying that he was in Roquan Smith's shadow, especially Ravens fans. That's one big thing Ravens fans brought up constantly, I would say on Twitter or X, is how he was a product of Roquan Smith and he couldn't be a standalone superstar in an inside linebacking core, that he needed help from somebody else. I don't see that to be true. I've seen plenty of plays that he made where he didn't need help from somebody else. He went out there and created plays on his own, created splash. But he's a type of linebacker we've been missing for a long time, since I believe it was 2017 when Shazier went down. We've been trying to find that inside linebacker since him. And hopefully, Roquan Smith already. Hopefully, Patrick Queen can be that player to fill that void that we've been missing. Also, he adds a little speed to the defense. Coming out of college, he ran a 4.5 40, almost 4.4. That's something else we've been missing in that inside linebacker group. Now, we traded up to get Devin Bush a few years ago. That didn't work out. After his ACL injury, he just wasn't the same. It didn't look like he had a love for the game anymore. He just didn't seem the same. He wasn't aggressive. He wasn't the same Devin Bush that we saw stomping on logos while he was at Michigan. He just seemed like a different player. He didn't have that dog in him anymore. So Patrick Queen wants to come over and be a leader, be a field general on the defense, which he said in an interview with Missy Matthews over at thesteelers.com. Another player, Deshaun Elliott, safety, formerly from the Baltimore Ravens. He was actually drafted by the Ravens, also played with the Lions, and last played with the Miami Dolphins. He signed a 2-year, $6 million deal. Last year, he had 86 tackles and 7 passes defended. And for his career, he has a total of just over 280 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, 3 interceptions, and 17 passes defended. He's not a splash signing that everybody may have been hoping for, like somebody like a Justin Simmons or somebody of that nature. But he's a solid player. He's a solid role player that knows his job, can do his job well, and be able to get the job done. He's played in the AFC North with the Ravens his first 3 years, so he knows what AFC North ball is. He knows what to expect. He knows what we'll expect of him. He's physical, downhill, likes to play in the box. He's a solid tackler. Also, in his introductory interview with Missy Matthews, she asked him where does he prefer to play. He said he'll play anywhere that they want him to, but his preference is in the box. He wants to play close to the line of scrimmage. And that's something we've desperately been needing since Edmonds left, since Terrell Edmonds left. Because now that allows Minka Fitzpatrick to be able to roam the back end. He doesn't have to play around the line of scrimmage. Doesn't have to play around the box. He can be used in a way that best suits him. That deep middle safety, that rover. So that way he's able to create splash, create turnovers, and be the most effective player he is. Get back to the all-pro status that we're used to seeing Minka at. Also, Cameron Johnston, punter from Houston, signed a 3-year, $13 million deal. This is I wouldn't say underrated, because Steelers fans, we've seen how punting has gone for us for the past couple years. It's been inconsistent. Johnston is an upgrade. He's professional, and most of all, he's consistent. He has a career average of 47.3 yards per kick, a net average of 43.5, touchback percentage of 6.2, and his punts land inside the 20 just over 40% of the time, compared to Presley Harvin, who has a career average of 43.7, which is just about 4 yards shorter. A net average of 40.6, which is just about 3 yards shorter. A higher touchback percentage at 6.45. And almost 5% lower his kicks, landing inside of 20, about 5% less than Johnston at 34.5. So that's something that can definitely help our team. Field position is a big part of our game. You know, the Steelers like to run the football, play defense. Having a punter that can pin teams deep in their own end zone will pay huge dividends when you're trying to flip the field. And if you want to play defense, you want to make the team, the opponent, drive on the longest field as possible. You don't want to shank a punt, give them the ball around midfield and one first down or in field goal range. And your chances of scoring a touchdown when you're starting from the 50 is obviously way higher than if you're starting from your own 10 or your own 15. So the punting game is something I should definitely see an uptick in. So you'll see an improvement. Hopefully Johnston can be the same player he's been over the past few seasons and be a major upgrade from what we've seen over the past couple seasons. To stay on special teams, Cordell Patterson, the kick returner, signed a 2-year, $6 million deal. Now, this is an interesting one. Cordell Patterson is one of the best kick returners in NFL history. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that he was picked up right after the kickoff format was made, was changed. Now, we have a new format where they want to encourage more kick returns. So, it's in the Steelers' best interest to get a kick returner that's been one of the best of all time. I mean, he has an NFL record of 9 kick returns for touchdowns. The Steelers' last kick return for a touchdown was by Juju Smith-Schuster in 2017 against the Browns. It's a long time ago to go without a kick return for a touchdown. He has a career average of 29.3 per return for his career. Now think about that. If you're catching the ball around the goal line, you're almost at the 30 every time. We haven't seen that for a long time. Last year, our average might have been around 20, 23 yards, somewhere in that range. So just by getting better starting position on each drive is going to help tremendously. And not only is he a great kick returner, he can also play running back and play receiver. He would most likely be our RB3. And maybe receiver 5 or something like that. I don't see him playing too much receiver unless it's a situation where you just want to get him on the field. He's a player that you want to get him on the field. You want to get the ball in his hands as he can be electric. Now, he's 33, so he's a little bit on the older side. But he's a young 33. He's not somebody that's been taking wear and tear on his body, getting 400 touches a year, playing running back or however many touches playing receiver. He doesn't have that. He's been mostly a kick returner and has been backup running back and receiver. So he doesn't have all that wear and tear in his body that a normal 33-year-old would have in the NFL. Now with him playing running back and receiver, fits in perfect with Arthur Smith because he played for Arthur Smith while in Atlanta for the past 3 seasons. Actually had his best seasons while he was with the Falcons with Arthur Smith. In 2021, he had 135 carries for 618 yards. Also 52 receptions for 548 yards. So that's over 1,100 yards of offense produced by Patterson. Like I said, he's somebody that you just want to get the ball in his hands. Now he's not going to take too many touches away from Najee or Jaylen Warren, but he can be an asset. He can be a wild card or a chess piece put on the field. He's, like I said, he can be very productive with the limited amount of touches that he gets when he's on the field. A re-sign that we had was Montrevious Adams, signed a 2-year, $5 million deal. I like the signing because it's a solid depth piece at nose tackle. Then we have Keanu Benton, Braden Fajoco, another player that was brought back. Just D-line depth, you can never have enough. You can never have enough. So I liked him as another depth piece. He's not a splashy sign. He's just somebody that does his job. Van Jefferson, receiver, came over from the Falcons, previously with the Rams. Signed a 1-year, $1.2 million deal. I believe he was somebody that was picked by Arthur Smith. He played with Smith last season in Atlanta. He's somebody that looked more to as being a wide receiver 3 or 4. I think he has more potential than given credit for, though. I mean, if you look at why he was in LA, he played behind Cooper Kupp, behind Puka Nacua. They had Robert Woods there. They brought Odell Beckham in. So he's not going to be your wide receiver 1 or 2. So you're not going to, he's not going to get the ball too much. I think he did well with the opportunities he had. I mean, for his career, he has 113 receptions, 1,600 yards, and 10 touchdowns. But he's an asset, especially in an offense like Arthur Smith, is he is a great blocker. He's somebody that will block downfield. You know, we've always heard running backs, their explosive runs take place when receivers block downfield. That's something that, with the way we want to run the ball, is something that will be much needed. He's also fast. Ran 4.39 at his combine, so you can never have too much speed on the field. So he's somebody that I think this was a good signing. I like bringing Van Jefferson in. He could be a younger leader in the room. He's 27, but he's been in the NFL for a while. He's a son of a coach. His dad played in the league for a while. I believe over a decade, maybe. I could be mistaken, but I believe his dad played in the league for a decade or so. Also coached in the league for a while. So he's grew up around football. He knows how the NFL is. He knows how to be a pro. Quez Watkins, another receiver we brought in, signed a one-year contract. I'm not sure what the total was, but I know he signed a one-year contract. Another fast receiver. He ran 4.35 at his combine. And also another receiver for depth. A young player also. He's only 25. He's somebody that could play in the slot. Now, right now, we don't have a slot receiver, so we need somebody that can slot in there and play in that slot. We do have Calvin Austin, who is pretty much unproven. I don't think we found a way to unlock him yet. I still think there's a lot of potential there, but I definitely see these two battling out for that slot position. Watkins can also return, although I think Cordarrelle Patterson will take that role, but Watkins does have return capabilities. Also, for his career, he's had 96 catches, 1,249 yards, and 6 touchdowns. So another solid depth piece that we've acquired through free agency. Kyle Allen, the quarterback, came from the Bills. He's in his 7th season. So he's a quality QB3. I don't see him being anything more than that. He may be battling for that QB3 position. Depends on if the Steelers bring in somebody from the draft or if they sign another free agent. He may be in a position to battle for that QB3, but he's somebody that you should be comfortable with having at that QB3 position. I mean, he's played in 7 seasons. He started 12 games in 2019 for the Panthers in replace of Cam Newton, where he threw for over 3,300 yards, 17 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. He's also played in Washington and Buffalo. Last he was backing up Josh Allen. But in his career, he's played in 30 games and started 19. So, like I said, he has experience. He's thrown for over 4,700 yards in his career, 26 touchdowns, 21 interceptions, and 82.2 QBR. So, like I said, he's a solid QB3. He's somebody that if he has to go in a game, you're not going to panic. Like, he's somebody that's been there, done that. He's been in the league for quite a while, so he's somebody that can add value to a roster. Sort of in the same lines, the next player that we're going to go through is Dean Lowry, the defensive end. Came from Green Bay. I believe he was drafted by the Vikings. No. He was drafted by Green Bay and last played with the Vikings, but he was injured last year, so he didn't play much with the Vikings. But he played over 7 seasons in Green Bay. So this is his 9th season. So he's somebody else that has a lot of snaps under his belt, played a lot of football in the NFL. A career of just over 260 tackles, 15 and a half sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, 1 interception. Again, a solid depth piece with plenty of experience. Now, my hope is that they do bring in somebody else of higher quality. I do like Dean for what his role may be. He's primarily a run stopper. He can push the pocket a little bit, but He's primarily going to be a run stopper. But with Cam Hayward getting older, Larry Ogunjobi's contract coming up soon, you have Keanu Benton as a promising young star. But behind that, there's really not too much more. I mean, DeMarvin Leal, I don't know if he'll be on the roster too much longer. And he seemed like he's not a good fit for the Steelers. But I hope they do bring in somebody, maybe in the draft, a mid-late round pick that can hopefully develop into a starter, somebody that can replace a Cam or Ogunjobi. Now, I know you're not going to replace Cam Hayward, especially with somebody that's in the later rounds, but we need some young blood, some fresh players on that defensive line. And a last free agent, Miles Killebrew, our special teams ace, our special teams captain, was signed to a two-year, $6.5 million deal. Now, Killebrew was somebody that's been extremely valuable to our team. He has 4 block punts in his career. Now, some of these punts blocks, like the Ravens game, might have won the game for us. In Buffalo 2 years ago, I think it was like the first game of the season, blocked a punt. Game changing. I mean, these are game changing splash plays that you need plays like this sometimes to win games, especially when you don't have an offense that can score points. You need to find ways to get points. And Miles Killebrew single-handedly has produced points for our team. So he's somebody that I don't think it was a hesitation in bringing him back. Like I said, 2 years, $6.5 million. He's earned every penny of it. Also, while you're here, please like, comment, subscribe, share the video. I would greatly appreciate it. So now, some trade talk. Steelers trades that we've made. First, we traded Deontay Johnson and pick 240 for Dante Jackson and pick 128. Now, I was a huge Deontay Johnson fan. I get the criticism behind him. Sometimes his lack of effort. He may not have been the best role model in the locker room, but he was productive. I mean, he has a career. He has 391 receptions, just over 4,300 yards and 25 touchdowns. He's somebody that we're going to need to find that production somewhere. So there's a void at receiver with missing Deontay. Now, we've signed a couple free agents like we talked about earlier, but those guys are wide receiver threes at best. You're looking at more receiver 3, 4s, maybe 5s. So they're not somebody I expect to come in and put up numbers like Deontay, like over 70 catches, over 800 yards, and however many touchdowns. I know he went through that year where he didn't score a touchdown, but he's a productive player. He's a reliable player. He's a route specialist. He's quarterback friendly, gets open easy. He's an easy target. But while we lose a position, we gain a much needed position with Dante Jackson, a much needed cornerback too. We saw Patrick Peterson didn't work out the best. Levi Wallace wasn't too productive. So we needed somebody to come in and be that cornerback opposite of JPJ. The best thing for him is he won't ask to cover receiver ones. He's not going to be the guy just left on an island and say, take another team's best receiver. Good luck. We have JPJ to do that now. And he's shown last year that he's very capable of taking a team's wide receiver one and almost taking him out the game. With Jackson, he's undersized, but he plays with an edge, as Mike Thomas said in one of his interviews. Also, he's fast. Jackson ran 4.36 in the 40 at his combine. Good ball skills, attacks the ball at the point of catch. He's a solid player. He's somebody that I think was underrated. The Steelers have been looking at him for the past couple years. We've eyed him coming out the draft. We attempted to make a trade for him, or at least had talks about trading for him a few years ago when his contract was up. We talked about possibly bringing him in. Like, it's now is the time that it worked out on both ends. Another trade that we had was Kenny Pickett and pick 120 for pick 98 and two 2025 seventh round picks. Now with Kenny Pickett, you lose a quarterback. It was a former first round pick, the number 20th pick overall. For his career, he's had just over 4,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions with a record of 14-10. Now, you can't say Pickett was a winner, but was he, or were the Steelers winning because of Pickett, or were they winning in spite of him? At times, it didn't look like he was doing anything all game. Defense had to hold the team down and create turnovers, create splash, and keep teams low scoring games. And you would have Kenny Pickett in the fourth quarter make a few plays and we win the game. You can't keep winning like that. And it showed that we can't keep winning like that. When you get against a Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or teams like that, especially in the playoffs, you're not going to win. When you're scoring 13, 16, 19 points, now we need to score more points. And that was one of the big points of emphasis Tom would always say, is we need to score points. That's part of the reason why Matt Canada was fired, is we just didn't score enough points. Part of the reason why Kenny Pickett is no longer here, is we need to score more points. Also, you've always heard about Kenny Pickett's leadership coming out of college, but when the time came, how much of a leader was he? Was he about himself or was he about the team? I mean, when that game in Seattle where it seemed like he was supposed to be the emergency quarterback, but it seemed like he didn't want to dress. Was that true? I don't know. I mean, I'm not an insider. I'm not in the locker room with them, but you hear things like that and you wonder, was he really about the team? Also, being a leader, you need to know how to follow. You need to know how to learn. He was asked, did he learn anything on the sideline while the other quarterbacks were in? And just short answer, no. I feel like there's always opportunities to learn. Especially you're in your second year. You're not one of the top quarterbacks in the league. You're actually one of the worst quarterbacks statistically in the league. Statistically in history of the NFL, you're one of the worst quarterbacks. So you mean to tell me you couldn't learn anything while you're on the sideline? I find that hard to believe. You also heard that how much of a competitor he was. But that doesn't seem to be true either. He looked like he whined when Mason took over as the starting quarterback. Also, when they brought Russell Wilson in, he wanted to leave. Did he hurt himself? I mean, he could have been the QB1 in the future. Russ was on a one-year deal. He could have sat behind Russ for a year, or if he struggled, came in early, learned what he could from a quarterback, like we talked about earlier, has been there, done that, and then maybe next year, take over the starting position. I mean, I feel like it was a perfect scenario for a quarterback in his situation where he wasn't have the success that he was hoping for. It's a chance for him to step back, I guess reevaluate everything, and then see if you can get back on the right track and move forward. Now, since he didn't want to step up to that competition, he was dealt to the Eagles, where now he's definitely the backup. I feel like he had a chance to compete for the job in Pittsburgh, but now he's locked in at QB2. Or he may even be battling for QB2. He might end up being QB3. So we'll see how that turns out. But Dylan Pickett to the Eagles was a blessing in disguise to me, because he opened the door for another quarterback, which the next one we're going to talk about was Justin Fields. And we got Fields for I don't know how Khan did this, a 2025 conditional 6th-round pick that could be bumped up to a 4th-round pick if Fields play 51% or more of the snaps in 2024. Meantime, we got Justin Fields for a 6th-round pick. Now, there were talks that he was going to be a 1st-round trade, you're going to need a second rounder and a fourth. Then it dropped down, so maybe a third and a fourth. Now we have a sixth round pick for Justin Fields. Remember, he's only 25. Fields is young in his third year. He's a former, I believe, the 11th overall pick in Chicago. Walked into a situation that was not beneficial to him in his career. I mean, Chicago had nothing going right for them. I mean, he was asked to put the team on his shoulders and win. The head coach wasn't the best. The talent around him wasn't the best. Like I said, he was basically asked to do things on his own. Now, I don't know how you can expect a young quarterback to be successful when he doesn't have much help. That's one of the biggest problems with young quarterbacks coming into the league that are high draft picks, is usually you're going to a terrible team. Now, he ended last season on kind of a high note. His last 8 games weren't too bad. You can see improvement. You can see the direction he was going. And the Bears actually are now starting to add talent around them for whoever their first pick is going to be this year, which seems like it'll be Caleb Williams. And speaking of Caleb, there are so many people that were saying, why the Steelers want Justin Fields when the Bears are giving him away? Well, you have a supposedly generational talent and you have the first round pick, sometimes you have to swing for the fences. And I believe the Bears want to see what they can get with Caleb Williams. They think the Justin Fields experiment didn't go as well as they want, so they want to start fresh. So now they have their chance to start over with Caleb Williams and see what they can do from there. They're actually doing right by him by surrounding him with talent. So I wish they would have done the same thing with Justin Fields. Actually, I don't wish they would have, because we probably wouldn't have him at this point if they did. So that's better for us. But obviously, Fields had his issues. Some of his biggest issues were his sacks and turnovers. But when Kenny Pickett started off, turnovers were his big issue also. But somehow the Steelers were able to fix his turnovers, and he almost never turned the ball after that. Now, granted, he didn't throw many touchdowns after that, and he was very, very pedestrian. It seemed like he was too cautious, but it's one issue you took away was his turnovers. Now, Justin Fields has an unlimited potential. I believe he has so much more potential than what Kenny Pickett could be. The arm talent, the athleticism, escapability, everything you want in a quarterback, Justin Fields has. Now you put him with Arthur Smith, who is running an offense that's very QB friendly. I mean, it's a perfect marriage. You look at somebody like Ryan Tannehill, who Arthur Smith turned into a Pro Bowler. Now you go from Ryan Tannehill, who in Miami was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. I don't know if he's one of the worst quarterbacks, but he wasn't good. He wasn't good. And then you bring in an Arthur Smith, and all of a sudden, the Titans are in the AFC Championship game, led by a quarterback that's in the Pro Bowl. Now I can see him doing the same thing for a Justin Fields or even a Russell Wilson. Two quarterbacks that have their flaws, but in an offense where they're not asked to do as much, I feel like they can thrive. You're not putting all the weight on them, asking them to win every game. Just manage the game. Run the ball, play defense, make a few plays here and there. Now, I believe they'll be asked to do a little more than just make a few plays here and there, because their talent level, their abilities call for that. You can ask them to make a few more plays. Especially if somebody like Russ you trust, who's not going to turn the ball over much, he'll be able to take more chances. Fields, you might have to put the reins on him a little bit, calm him down where he won't not taking so many careless sacks. That also can go back to offensive coordinator and offensive line and the talent around them. He wants to try to win everything on his own. But I see this being a perfect marriage. You have Russell Wilson, who is the vet that's been there, done that, And you have Justin Fields, who's a young player with unlimited potential, as Mike Tomlin says, oozes potential, can learn from Russ. And so who knows we can have. So this might be an issue we deal with at the end of the season when we move on to next year, who our quarterback for 2025 will be. But that's a problem, a good problem to have when you're not sure of who's the best out of the two. So there's a lot of excitement so far with the players the Steelers have acquired. But also there's so much that needs to be done. I mean, we still need a center. We still need another receiver. We still need a slot corner. Like, we still need a tackle. Now, whether these positions will be filled in free agency, via trade, through the draft, or any combination of those, and we'll wait and see. I mean, I'll touch more on further moves that are needed on our next show. So, if you made it this far, thank you so much. Please like, comment, subscribe, share. If you're listening to the audio version, please leave a 5-star review. I also have a YouTube page, ChrisG_Steelers. Check that out for your Steelers news and updates. Most recently put up my first live mock draft, so be sure to check that out. You can also follow my written work for the Steel Curtain Network, part of the FansFirstSportsNetwork.com. And follow me on X at CGillis2021. So that'll do it for our first episode. So until next time, Steelers Nation, stay blessed, stay positive. Here we go.